Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network. Because you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven. A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites. Combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. This is the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UBNRadio.com.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman. I can't care about
anything but you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dates and Mates. I'm Damona Hoffman, your host, and we're here to solve all your dating woes and concerns. In case you didn't notice today, we're kicking it off with a new sound. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. If you're on the UBN Radio chat roll, which you can sign into very easily with Facebook and Twitter, let us know your thoughts if you like that song. If you feel like a love fool yourself, let us know what's on your mind. Today, we are going to talk about the holidays. They are right around the corner. And, you know, whether you're single, married, divorced, whatever, there's a lot of stress coming your way. So we're going to talk about how to survive the holidays, no matter what your relationship status. Our phone lines are open throughout the show today. You can give us a call at 323-284-7826. Again, that number's 323-284-7826. But we always love to have your comments on the UBN Radio chat roll. I am joined in studio with producer Natasha.
Hi, Damona. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm a busy week. We've been doing this webinar series, women's webinar
series. Yep. What was yesterday's? It was how to look
surprising ways to look sexier. And we had quite a few surprises. But there's more surprises to come with next week's seminar.
And what's next week's seminar about?
How to make him notice you.
Ooh, that's an important one.
Girl, this stuff works.
Yeah,
you
sure
know
does.
It firsthand.
I sure do.
I'm also joined here by one of my fellow hosts at UBN Radio, Catherine Tull. She's the host of Compassionate Conversation, which is on right before us at 11 on UBN Radio Channel 1. Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. And also, we're going to be joined later in the show by the author of Real Love Right Now, Kaylin Rosenberg. She is also the host of OWN Network's Lovetown USA, and we'll get her thoughts on dating and mating and relating over the holidays. But first, we're going to kick it off with the Lava Life question of the week.
Lava Life question of the week.
So this comes from Casey, who's 35, from New York. She says, I have a problem. I am living with the father of my child. We have been dating for almost 10 years. We're about to get married, but for the past 3 months, we haven't had sex, and he is no longer sleeping in our bedroom.
Oh,
he's sleeping on the couch, and he's always chatting online. Sometimes I would wake up at night to find he's chatting, and I would ask him. I'd ask him what he's doing, and the only answer I'll get is, why are you asking? I don't know what I should do. I can see that he's cheating, but how can I confront him because I don't have proof? Please help me. So I'll give you some of my thoughts here. You can, of course, read my entire response to Casey on Lava Life, Lava 365. But I would say first, we're jumping to a few conclusions because we don't know necessarily that he's cheating. And, you know, there is a difference between emotional cheating and physical cheating. But the bottom line is, it seems that if he's not sleeping in your bed, you haven't been having sex. Clearly, there's some sort of a disconnect in your relationship that needs to be dealt with. So, you know, I would suggest just starting an open conversation with him and really approaching it from a point of view of listening. Because if you come at him saying, I know you're cheating, what's going on, and demanding answers, he's going to probably retreat. But if you stay from the point of view of what your feelings are and how his actions are affecting you, I think you have a better chance at getting an honest response. So starting out that conversation like, you know, I've noticed you haven't been sleeping in our bed. We haven't been having sex, and it's affecting me in this way. Is there something that's going on? Is there something that you want to tell me about the relationship, or something that I've done that has made you pull away? So, you know, those are my thoughts for Casey, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's over, but communication is so important in relationships. So I think you really just got to open up and give him that opportunity to share and let go of whatever the end result is, because the answer might be that he's cheating and he's fallen out of love for whatever reason. And he's not someone that you should be building a future with. But it's better to know that before you get married. I know you already have a child together, but it's better to know that before you get married and before things get more complicated than after. So I want to get my co-host Catherine Tull's opinion on this question. Catherine is a marriage and family therapist.
Yes.
And she's known for her work with both individuals and couples in specializes in relationship communication,
yes,
and healing from trauma.
Yes.
So I also want to tell everybody you have a renowned book, The Next Bold Step, Learning to Love and Value Yourself and Know That You Matter. And, you know, you've really been changing many lives.
Thank you.
including your own.
Including my own.
And also on Compassionate Conversation, which you can hear on UBN Radio at 11 a.m. on Channel 1. So, Catherine, as an expert in these kind of issues, what would you say to Casey?
Well, I really liked your answers, Damona. I mean, I'm completely on the same page with you that open communication is the most important thing. Does Casey let us know how old their child is in her information to us?
I don't think she does. We know she's 35 and they've been dating for 10 years. So
and we don't
know
how old her partner is.
Okay. She didn't say.
So the only reason that I even ask those questions is because the age of the child can have different effects on how they are communicating, and the age of her partner can have different effects on what his expectations are of her and of their life.
Mm.
I mean, right off the top, it sounds to me like as they have gotten closer and closer to their wedding, that, you know, stuff is going on under mm-hmm. the surface, because mm-hmm. I think you said that they're about to get married.
Right.
So here they've had a construct of their relationship that they have both felt they understood and knew how to operate within for a really long time, including having a child together without being married. That's going to really change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that he's having a lot of feelings about that. Whether or not he's in touch with those feelings, we don't know. But I loved that you said for Casey to approach him by saying, I've noticed that, you know, you're not sleeping in the bed with me. We haven't had sex for a really long time. And it feels really disconnected to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, what did I do mm-hmm. to contribute to that?
Yeah, so many times people, they go on the
offense
right away.
And that absolutely is going to push the other person onto the defense. It, mm-hmm. it can have no other outcome than mm-hmm. that. If you feel you're being assaulted, you're going to throw up your guard to protect
totally.
Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to come at it from a position of, you know, we are such a wonderful couple. We have built this incredible relationship, and clearly something shifted, because
mm-hmm.
I've noticed that you're not sleeping in the bed and you're sleeping out here on the couch and we're not having sex. So I'd really like to know, what was my part in that? What was my part in whatever's not working for you right now?
Have you found in your work, if a man is, you know, there's this saying, if he's not sleeping with you, he's getting it somewhere else. He's
right.
sleeping with somebody else.
Right.
Have you found that to really be true? Or is it sometimes that you could just be disconnected and who knows what he's doing online? But,
you know, what I absolutely believe in and what I absolutely have found to be true is that when someone's emotional needs are not being met, if they feel that they've done a really good job of asking you to meet their needs, if he's been demonstrating to her in his own way that he needs something from her and she's not fulfilling that, he's going to go find that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is that it frequently is about his emotional needs to feel appreciated, to feel paid attention to feel like he really is her prince or her king. That gets lost way before they go have sex with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the last thing they do. That is the ultimate
I'm sick of you, you're not meeting my needs kind of gesture, it usually builds with a lot of emotional disconnect before it gets to the point of them actually sleeping with somebody else.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. There's someone very close to me, I won't say who, but they were in a marriage and they were starting to feel disconnected. And, you know, eventually, you know, they asked, can we go to therapy, and tried to work through it. And eventually it did escalate into, you know, him starting a relationship with another woman. Aww. And at this point, you know, they've been split up for a few years. At this point, he really feels no remorse. He feels no, he doesn't take responsibility for what he did right. to his wife, because he feels like he was really trying to say for so long that they needed help and things weren't working out. Do you find, like, is that a common position to take, or, you know, is there something that needs to be done to kind of put closure on it? If you actually are the one that then takes that action, that final action of I'm sleeping with someone else and now I'm really out of this relationship.
Well, the world would be a very different place if people would take responsibility for their behavior. And the reality is, as right. we can see, that most people don't want to.
Right.
He feels, and it's interesting that that's kind of exactly the situation I was just describing. He feels like he did everything he could to let her know that he wasn't getting his needs met. She ignored it. And he finally said, I'm done. And he went and he started getting his needs met somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And he feels no remorse about that. The fact that he's not willing to talk about it, that's very sad, and it's not surprising. Mm-hmm. You know, men have...
Is it different for men and women?
Absolutely. You know? Men have not been brought up in our society to understand what they feel and to be willing to talk about it. In fact...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was pointed out to me, and I found this really, really brilliant, that men are actually teased from the time they're children. Like, if they're at school...
Oh, don't cry like a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get... What's wrong with you that you feel sad? Toughen up. Suck mm-hmm. it up. Jump back in there. So it's hard then to expect them as adults to all of a sudden have emotional language. They never right. had it in the first place. So right. when a man thinks he's demonstrating to his partner that he needs something, she may not be getting it at all because she's expecting words. He may not be using words.
Oh yeah, that's something very important, like to know the language that you're partner speaks in and
Absolutely.
Be able to understand it, because we expect that the other person communicates in the same way that we do, and if they don't respond the
That's
way
right.
that we expect, we get all bent out of shape about it.
Absolutely so. And you know, men typically demonstrate through action, whereas women typically are very verbally oriented. Most women really like words. If something is wrong,
feelings.
Yeah. If something is wrong, tell me. Why didn't you just tell me that something was wrong? In the meantime, he's thinking, you know what, babe? I rolled over to have sex with you at least 100 times and you turned your back on me. Like, what was not clear about that to you?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a complete disconnect in how they're able to understand one another in the first place. So
do you think it is possible to, you know, at the beginning I said there's a difference between an emotional affair and, you know, a physical affair. Do you see that? Is one of those easier to come back from? Like, if can a guy disconnect from sex and just have sex with another woman to get his needs met, but still be connected to his wife emotionally?
You know, I'm not a man, so I can't speak to that personally. But from what I see demonstrated in society, I would say yes, men can more easily than women disconnect simply to have sex. Because, you know, there are a zillion beautiful women out there and they appreciate the female body. And it's just like, ooh, she's hot. I want to go do that. And it has nothing to do with how they may feel about their partner. But I will still say that if somebody's needs are really, truly being met in their relationship, it's unlikely that they're going to step up to that urge. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that something is amiss because we all feel the urge. You know, look, everybody walks down the street and goes, oh my God, that is a gorgeous person. That doesn't mean we run up to them and say, here's my phone number, let's go get it on. So, right? So in turn, but
you could, but
you could, most of us don't. Your question was, is it more retrievable? This is how I'm interpreting the question. Is it more retrievable to come back from an emotional affair than it is from a sexual affair? And my answer to that is yes, I think it is. I think that an emotional affair is like a cry for help. Mm. That's the first step to saying something is really wrong in our relationship. I want you, but you're not meeting me. You're not jumping over to this side with me.
And in that instance I was telling you about, you know, that man, he started initially having lunches with that woman, and you know, it escalated from there. But you know, maybe that was a red flag if
Absolutely.
He's having lunch every day with a woman that's not his wife.
Who's not paying attention to that? I mean, where was the attention being paid to that? Did somebody not know? How would you not know? Mm. So it leaves a lot of questions unanswered that if we could unpack the whole situation, we could absolutely go back and say, at this point, something could have happened differently. At this point, something could have happened differently. Unfortunately, we often don't hear about it until much damage is done that there is no going back. But there's sure a lot to learn for the next time.
And those are wise words, Catherine.
Well, I'm a survivor of two marriages, and I learned, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I mean, I would have loved to have met the right guy the first time and to have been wise enough about how to do relationship so that relationship could have lasted. I was just saying to my guest on my own show today, I only knew of marriage what was demonstrated to me.
I
only knew of relationship what was demonstrated to me. So if the role modeling that the adults in your life gave you doesn't really demonstrate healthy communication or intimate emotional connection, if you don't see demonstrated wonderful communication skills, where are you going to get those from? They don't just
therapy
fall
with out. Catherine Tull.
thank you.
But I do think it is possible, because I have seen clients that had very awful role models for relationships. But you can make a choice. I think that's the important thing, is that you don't have to choose. And now, you know, you went through two marriages that didn't last, but now you have, you know, you've built the knowledge and
Absolutely.
The understanding, so that the next time.
That's right. But like for Casey,
it'll go differently.
Casey may not know that she doesn't know.
That's true.
Casey cannot know what she doesn't know yet. So no matter how good or bad or whatever the role modeling she saw was, you have to get new knowledge from somewhere. It doesn't just, you know, by osmosis go into your skin. you either choose to read books, or you choose to go on webinars that experts like you are giving. Choose to work with an expert therapist who can teach you how to communicate in relationship. You choose to find knowledge if you recognize you don't have it.
Right.
But most of us don't know that we don't know enough.
Yes, admitting the problem is the first step. Right, exactly. I love these nuggets of wisdom that you're sharing with us. We have to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to be joined by the host of Owns Lovetown USA. She's also author of a great new book, Real Love Right Now, Kaylin Rosenberg. She'll be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned. Joining me as co-host today is author, therapist, and host of Compassionate Conversation with Catherine Tull on UBN Radio. Catherine,
yes.
Welcome.
It's very fun to be here, Damona. Thank you.
Thank you. I forgot to mention, you're listening to Dates and Mates with Dear Ms. D. It was such a short break. I almost forgot we didn't go anywhere. But now we're also joined by a truly amazing guest, Kaylin Rosenberg. She has made love her business. She's been recently named by Oprah Winfrey as a true love ambassador. That's a title I would love to have.
Yeah, no
go
kidding.
Girl. In addition to her starring role in Lovetown USA on OWN and BBC Worldwide, she's a professional matchmaker, and she runs Love Architects, an elite matchmaking firm that redesigns clients' love lives from the inside out. Her first book, Real Love Right Now, guides readers through how to love themselves on their quest to find true love with someone else. And she's with us today. Can you give some big smooches to our guest, Kaylin Rosenberg?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Hi.
Thank you so much for being here, Kaylin. You know, I imagine, as someone else in the love business, I imagine right now, with the holidays up ahead, you are a busy lady, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, it's a crazy time, I think, for anyone. There are a lot of emotions flying and, you know, kind of the hope and the desire to reconnect with many people, including yourself, that we can so easily disconnect from. And it brings out a lot of different kind of things that can spook people. So it's a happy, joyful time, but it's also a time that brings up craziness. Yeah, that's for sure, when it comes to love.
I'm sure there are a lot of singles that come to you and they think, okay, I have to go home for the holidays. And I know Aunt Sally's going to be asking me, you know, why didn't you bring home a nice girl this year? Do you get people that come to you that are just in a total rush? Like, I need to meet someone before the end of the year. I need to kiss someone on New Year's. Get to work, lady.
Yeah, you know, they really are. They are worried about, we have this codependent thing going on where we're worried about what everyone else thinks, rather than being really more so concerned about making sure that we are happy, joyful, and with the right partner. And so there can be sort of the flood or the rush out of the gates to find at least someone to bring home and to say, look, I've actually done it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, this is a time to just focus on love, joy, and giving in ways that we usually don't think about the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it can kind of spark a different piece inside of us that needs a little more awareness and opportunity to either give more love to someone else and or bring it to you.
You know, what about those fast and furious romances? Like, let's say you do introduce someone to someone who's a great catch. And, you know, I had one client who said, I will know when I meet the right guy, I will know she came out of a relationship that her husband had cheated on her and she was 40 and wanted to have kids immediately. And she said, I'm going to know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. And you know what? She was right. She ended up meeting a guy on Match.com. And within, I think, 9 months, they were engaged. And I think 6 months they were engaged. Within a year, they were married. And by the next year, they had a kid. Wow. She was not playing around. But I mean, do you see those fast and furious romances last? They're doing great. But, you know, is it something that's advisable?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I do believe in soulmates. And just not only through my own experience, but really the many that I have not only helped connect with each other and others that have come to me and shared that they've definitely met their soulmate. When you meet the one, and again, if you believe in soulmates, when you've met your soulmate, you just know, each of you know, there's something deeper than you, above and beyond you, that just connects and it falls in love on a really heavy sort of spiritual level. And, you know, regardless of that feeling, though, depending on the two personalities, the egos that are involved, they can either, you know, again, run into it or rush into it fast and furious. And it can be sexy, enticing, lovely, and wonderful. And or two people can try to, you know, using some knowledge and some past experience, they can, you know, tread lightly and take it slowly. I think regardless, at some point, you know, you do hit, and it's purposeful, I think, on our spiritual quest and in love and, what you know, the way it's meant to be a teacher for us, really. But you hit walls, you hit bumps, you hit crevices that really allow you to come to a place where you can grow, heal, become more of who you're really ultimately meant to be, as well as your partner from that relationship. So yes, you can fall madly in love and you can believe it's the right one and it can be fabulous, but at a certain point, some other realities come into place that test you a bit.
Is it bad if you don't know right away? It took me a long time to like decide that my husband was right for
That's
me.
Cute.
I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure. I liked him at the beginning, but I don't know that I felt that immediate soulmate connection. I do now, but
I
guess,
I like that.
You know, some soulmate connections, I'm hoping.
How long do you think it took you? When did you start to really feel it?
Oh, I don't know. At least 6 months.
Mm. Wow.
But I was also, I was pretty young too. You know, I wasn't trying to get married, you know.
No, that's what I was just thinking, is that you were very young. I mean, I would think that it has something to do with how well a person knows themselves.
Yes.
And is in touch with their own spirit, their own soul, and their own growth, so that when they meet their soulmate, they can receive what's being sent out. And you know, and I would just throw in there that a person can have more than one soulmate.
So, totally agree.
So the person that is your soulmate for one particular portion of your growth on this planet may not be your soulmate 10 years down the line, and that might not be your fault.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But that's heavy, Catherine.
Okay. Do you feel like then, you know, at the time that you've been married twice, do you feel at the time that those men were your soulmate, or did you feel like something was off?
No, you know, the first time, I have to admit, I just was trying to get somebody. First of all, I really wanted to be married. I had just been acculturated to want that. And so I was kind of looking for the one. And I met somebody who was the total antithesis to my father. So that was really attractive.
That sounds great.
But it turned out not to work for a long haul because he really wasn't interested in being the kind of responsible and responsive partner that I was looking for. Second time around, I really did know what I wanted. And I really did feel like I had met my soulmate. But neither one of us knew how to do marriage. Mm. And we just didn't do a good job of it, and it turned ugly. So there was a lot that I learned in both of those circumstances that has really enriched my ability to know without a doubt that deep, endearing, enduring love is entirely possible. But I do think that it takes a certain maturity to be able to have that and stick with it, because bumps will happen no matter how much you love somebody. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, for those that are single and looking for love around these holiday times, there's a lot of questions that come up with all the holiday parties and do I bring this new person and how do I take care of myself when I am single for the holidays? Kaylin, what advice do you have to those that are going to be single through the new year, and how can they be okay with that?
Right. Well, you know, number one, my Lord, I'm hoping that people are finding a way to absolutely truly know how to be okay being alone. You have to be at a place where you absolutely love and adore yourself in a healthy way, mind, body, spirit, you know, spirit, ego, before you can really even experience the fullness and the richness of love from someone else and a partner anyway. So that should be the number one really thing that you need to look at. But, you know, my Lord, this is a time to enjoy the festivities, go out and have a blast. If you think you found someone lovely and fun to be with and you want to bring them as a guest, by all means do. If you're bringing them though, however, just as a filler or something, again, that's kind of bringing peace to the ego for a moment because you don't want to show up alone, I would say that's not smart, because that might be the very evening and or day that you find the love of your life.
I was seeing on the news they were featuring rentaboyfriend.com.
Oh, Lord.
And they're
Lord.
They're having it's a huge season for them right now. And I was like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Well, you know, Kaylin said it earlier, we have so much codependency around, we're really worried about what other people are going to think. So, oh my God, what's everybody going to think if I show up at this great party by myself?
So I'll just rent this handsome hunk who's not going to be around the next day.
That's right.
Yeah. That's
how's your boyfriend? We broke up. You have to like make up a whole lie around it, you know?
Right. But I will say that, you know, one thing that men tell me over and over again that they're most attracted to is really the dynamic energy, that just sort of radiates from a woman that is truly confident. Mm-hmm. It is not always about having to be the most beautiful or having the best body, but it's an energy. It's a vibe. It's something that shines through a woman's eyes that the man is just like, whoa, what is that? I need to meet her. And if you have some guy on your arm that's not really anything more than just a date for the night, you might spoil a little bit of that opportunity. But love yourself and be open to knowing that love is waiting for you. It can be right around the corner. But if you're not believing in it, not trusting, you're not open, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I love what you just said, Kaylin. And in fact, just yesterday, I did this webinar, Surprising Ways to Look Sexier. And one of the surprising ways to look sexier was to do less, to put on less makeup and just really be comfortable in your own skin and trust that you are sexy as you, because there's nothing less attractive than, you know, feeling like you need to do something or be somebody else to be loved or
be
attractive. Amen.
So less is more sometimes. So Kaylin, you run Love Architects, a matchmaking company. And, you know, I love that name. And I'm releasing a program in January called Blueprint Your Breakthrough in Love. So I think we're kind of simpatico there. But yes. I'm curious to know from you why you chose that name and what your thoughts are on, you know, building the love life that you want.
Right. Well, you know, I've been doing this for about 20 years. My business actually started having nothing to do with singles or connecting soulmates. It was, you know, back then it was self-image consulting, but really life coaching before its time. And, you know, I realized that the reason that when I did start to put couples together and I heard the term soulmate, and then I saw these just intense, amazing, beautiful relationships and marriages happening, the reason that they were coming together in such an amazing, tight, beautiful way was that they had really worked hard on meeting themselves, on getting to, so now we know the foundation, right? The foundation of who they really were authentically, not who they became because of their upbringing, because of society, but who they really authentically were meant to be, foundation up. So I put my heart and focus there and then started to look at the walls. Are there walls that are strong and beautiful that need to stay, that protect in a healthy way with good boundaries? Are there walls that need to come down and be rebuilt in a healthy way? And I realized really I was helping my clients individually build their own love house. And when you build a beautiful love house, you have room to invite someone in and a guest of love in. And so hence came the Love Architects, because, you know, I think what really makes me different from the others out there is that my heart and my focus is to build that place for each individual so that they can bring love in, rather than just focusing on, you know, let's get you out of being single and let's just match you. That does nothing, I think, many times, but add to the divorce rate. And I'm about the opposite of that one.
I love everything that you said. And, you know, I think it's my challenge with my clients, and Catherine, you might have the same concern. It's convincing them that the house needs some renovation.
Yes.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Because they just see the other people in the relationship and they go, I want that. I just want to jump to that. Right. And it's like, wait, let's hold on. Like you said, let's get down to the foundation.
Absolutely.
And let's build again.
Yes.
People have a very hard time being willing to look at, is there something about me that I need to work on? People want to walk in ego and feel like everything is fine. And it's always got to be because, oh, it just wasn't the right guy, or it wasn't the right time, or, you know, well,
online dating is not for me. It doesn't work. I
hear
that all the
time. He's got something wrong with him when it really might be about, and I love the metaphor, Kaylin, of building a house. It really might be about needing to stop and look at what's inside these walls that I've got right now.
Yes.
Where might I be holding other people out because I'm not really feeling great about just being who I am?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you're completely right. And, you know, it is true that I would say 99.9% of the people that come to me, especially because I work with some celebrities now and pretty high profile people, and they come to me 100% ego. There's nothing wrong with them other than they'll say their picker is broken. And it's just about finding the right one. And, but one of the things that I try to do quickly in my assessment and evaluation is to get them to a place of realization that, you know, they're the number one denominator or the common denominator in every relationship that's failed. But to look at that from compassion and curiosity and with open arms and love for themselves rather than shame. And as you know, Catherine, people stay stuck in ego and stuck in protecting themselves and in denial because there's so much shame-based. They grew up with, you know, a lot of shame-based information and systems. And go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. They don't know how to think about it in any other way. So to have someone provide them a different context where they can look at the way life's events have unfolded and the way that's impacted them and take the self-blame out of it and just turn things into lessons. You know, what did I learn from that? What can I take away from that that has, in fact, made me more of who I am today?
Right. Right.
Exactly.
It's all, every experience you learn from and every experience you
if
build
you
upon.
Look.
But, you know, a lot of times I will read a client's profile and I can tell them exactly what their past relationship history was just from reading their profile, because they don't realize they're leading with what they don't want instead of what they do. And still like they're coming from that place of hurt of what the other guy didn't do, and now the demands of what they need the new guy to do. And that can be very off-putting for a man
Absolutely.
To read a profile like that, you know. And men do it too, you know. I have a lot of men that I work with that, you know, have demands in their, whether it comes from the relationships modeled for them and what they expect out of their wife. But, you know, it is important to figure out what you need kind of outside of what the relationships are that you've had.
Well, I find, like Kaylin, like you were just referring to, a lot of people are just really unconscious. You know,
oh,
they're just looking at the surface layer. Are they attractive enough? Is there enough money? Do they have some form of employment so they're not going to be completely dependent on me? Do they like the same things I like?
Is he Jewish? That's just my life with Jade. Yeah.
So I think it really is about opening up clients' consciousness. I mean, although I don't market myself as a dating expert, I certainly work with all my clients all the time.
Well,
about
it's like one of the basic needs, right?
Well,
so
it
having
is.
Love and
absolutely. We all want to be loved. We need to be loved. Human beings were not created to live in isolation for their entire life, and the species can't go on if people live in isolation, although we don't need a lot more people right now, so we've been doing really good on that. But in order to be able to extend love to someone else, what I think there's been a real misconception that love comes from the outside. And people don't stop to think about the fact that love has to start in your own heart. You cannot receive what you aren't giving. And you cannot be open to receiving love from someone else when you don't love yourself.
Well, and sometimes you also have to give yourself time to heal from another relationship without even seeking. Like right before I met my husband, it wasn't even coming out of a relationship, but I had a death in my family of someone that was really close to me. And I just said, you know what? I'm just not going to date for like six months. I'm just going to take time and focus on me, you know, and I worked with a life coach and it made such a difference because I could really re-enter the dating process, you know, knowing who I was, what I wanted, and not having that desperation of, oh, I need to get the date, get the relationship, have it work out. I could just be in the moment.
And then there are also those magical things that happen where you make a decision like, I'm not going to date right now. I'm not ready. And all of a sudden, wham, then you meet somebody and it is your soulmate. It's your perfect partner. So it, in spite of all of our good intentions or decisions, you know, the universal energy source has its own plan and its own idea.
Very true. Well, we have to take a little break, but when we come back, we've talked a lot about singles, but hey, the holidays are not easy for couples either. So I want to talk about how to survive Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. We're going to be talking about it on Dates and Mates. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. You're listening to UBN Radio, and we'll be back in just one moment. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman. I'm joined on the line today by Kaylin Rosenberg. She is the author of an awesome book, Real Love Right Now. And she's also hosted OWN Network's Love Town USA. So you can catch clips of her on OWN TV. Also, I'm here in studio with Catherine Tull, a fellow co-host at UBN Radio. Make sure that you listen to her show. It's every Wednesday right before Dates and Mates at 11 a.m. on Channel 1. Thank you for being here, Catherine.
Oh, it's a blast to be here, Damona. Thank you.
All right. So we've covered the singles pretty well, but I can certainly say as part of a couple, the holidays can be really stressful even with a partner. And, you know, I remember the first Thanksgiving that I went to New York with my then boyfriend, now husband, to meet his family and how stressful that is. Do you have any advice, Kaylin or Catherine, about when you're introducing someone to your family for the first time, are there certain rules or guidelines or ways to prepare that can really make that connection go smoothly?
Well, you know, I think that it's just important to be yourself no matter what, to not try to put on any air or to be anything other than who you genuinely are, because this is still, you know, a time for you to not only see how your partner or, well, now we're talking single dating and bringing them or in a new relationship?
New relationship. So
yeah,
now you're in a couple. We're
moving,
we're progressing through the relationship. So we were single, now we're dating, and we're going to get to marriage in a little bit.
Okay, so now we're meeting the family. Yeah, so, you know, we're still checking each other out, though, and I think at least we should be. So we want to see not only how our family and our friends respond to our current partner or love of our life at that moment, but also how our partner responds to our family and to our friends. Is it natural? Is it authentic? Is it organic? Do they really shift? and to just allow this to be a time to be surrounded by the people that you love and that your life is about. And it can be fabulous, and it can also be quite eye-opening in some ways that maybe aren't so comfortable, but again, eye-opening.
I would love to just jump in
yeah,
on
go
that
ahead.
For a minute. I also think that a lot of families have certain traditions that might be very foreign to somebody who's never been exposed to those traditions. Mm-hmm. I think that it is compassionate to prepare your new partner
Good
for
advice.
Some different things that they might be exposed to.
But sometimes I think people don't even know how different their family
well, that's
traditions
true.
Are.
That's so true. So they may not.
How do you get aware of what? I totally agree. But how do you even? You just start out by saying this is what you can expect.
Well, you know, one of the things that I learned to kind of ask of people that I've been dating is, how do you like to celebrate the holidays?
Mm.
What do the holidays look like in your family? Mm-hmm. Because if somebody's tradition is to go like camp out on the beach in Mexico every year at Christmas, that's not going to really work for me so well, because I want to be able to be with my children and my family. And
oh, but it's lovely and warm. And
but I mean, I think I think that it's appropriate and can be really helpful to have some conversation beforehand, you know, even like, I'd really love for my family to meet you. What would you think about that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's kind of what the holidays look like at my house. How do you think that might feel for you? And to just have some genuine conversation, because families can do things very differently. And what if you have the infamous crazy Uncle Bob, you know, who yeah. like has too much to drink and gets a little yeah. inappropriate with new guests and or whatever, you know, or grandma with her hearing aid screaming across the table and you haven't. So I think it's compassionate to prepare somebody that you're taking to meet your family if there's some idiosyncrasies that they it might be helpful to just know what they're walking into a little bit.
Yeah, well, and yeah. coming from a bicultural, bi-religious background, and you know, my family tree is as like mixed up as the United Nations, but you know, I've written a couple of articles about how to survive the holidays when you are going into a whole different culture, because there's
yes.
certain things that you just might not even be aware of. You know, in certain cultures, you should take your shoes off
That's
when
right.
you walk in. And then in other cultures, like I remember a year we went to visit my sister-in-law is Bengali, and we went to her parents' house. And my father-in-law took off his shoes and was like kind of playing footsie with the baby.
Oh.
And in that culture, it's extremely offensive to point your feet at people.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, interesting.
She is like the dirtiest. Like, he didn't know.
Right.
It was so awkward, you know, being there and seeing everybody's eyes get wide. Like, I can't believe he's putting his feet in the baby's face. But, you know, there's always some kind of awkward situation that comes up. It's all in how you deal with it. And also, I think in bringing your partner in, like, I also remember another story. I won't talk about myself the whole time, but it is my show. At Thanksgiving the first year, they were taking family photos. And so they said, you know, okay, all of the, you know, the Hoffman, that part of the Hoffman family, go stand on the stairs. They're very Americana. Like, stand on the stairs going down in height. Yeah, I know. Producer Natasha is cracking up. You can totally picture it because she knows my husband. And they said, Damona, you know, go and get in the picture. And this is like my first year. And we were just dating for a year.
Oh,
and I'm
that's
like,
a lot of pressure.
Really? You want me to in the photo? But it was so comforting when my husband, well, my boyfriend at the time said, yeah, you know, come and join. And I was like, okay, it's all right. And I was like, I'll just go on the end in case they need to cut me out in a couple of years. I don't know. But they didn't have to cut me out. So I'm still in the pictures. But
that's
surprisingly,
cute.
other relationships in the family that seemed really strong now are broken up. So you never really know what's going on, you know, behind closed doors.
You know, I think the other thing that might be really important for people to remember as they're going through the holidays as couples is that it's tiring to,
oh, yeah.
you know, and to support each other, to kind of get some downtime either together or even apart. I think that allowing your partner to have some separate downtime if they're dealing with your family.
Totally.
letting them go take a walk by themselves or even go see a movie by themselves just to detox for a few minutes because you love your family. That doesn't mean your partner's going to embrace them so wholeheartedly at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. That's great advice.
No, I really, what I love most about that though is it's the showing the sincerity sincerity of checking in and the value that you place on your partner's, you know, feelings and experience, and that you're not just, yes, you're not just making it about yourself and what you can learn from it, but you are really showing your partner that, you know, hey, you are important to me and I care about you and I care about this experience. So very nicely said. Yeah, I like that.
Let's say, you know, things are getting more serious. We're going down the relationship path.
Okay.
And you're approaching an engagement, a marriage proposal. A lot of times, I remember myself waiting for that ring on Christmas and on New Year's, and I was like, it's going to happen. And it didn't happen for like six more months. Every holiday, I was like, it's happening. What do you think about those Christmas proposals, or, you know, holiday proposals? Do you think it's appropriate to meld a big event like an engagement with a big event like a holiday?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think that it needs to happen when the timing is right for both people, and it happens when it's meant to happen. And, you know, if you do it on the big, you know, whether it's Christmas or it's Hanukkah or it's Valentine's, it's super fun and romantic when it happens. But I have noticed through, you know, talking to and working with other people that happen to have their anniversaries land on those days or the day before, the day after, that it can be quite exhausting. And actually, mm-hmm. people have ended up fighting over it. Yeah. So with regard to attention and gifts and what's fair and what's not and time and all of that. So I think the bottom line is that it just should be about when the moment is truly, purely as right as possible for each one, that it's never about needing it to be at a certain time. And it's definitely never about, you know, sort of giving the, oh Lord, help me out. I can't think. But, you know, if you're telling your partner, you're threatening them and saying, listen, it's an ultimatum. You need to marry me.
Yeah. I've heard that one before. By the end of the year. Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for yourself, and it really doesn't work for the partnership and or the person that you are expecting and demanding propose to. So just allow things to be as they're meant to be. Trust in it. Trust in love. And, you know, that's when the best stuff shows up.
I did hear once there was there's like a theory that if you get married, if you get engaged on Christmas and it doesn't work, that they can take the ring back.
Oh, you're kidding.
Have you heard
funny.
This one? No. Okay, I guess maybe it's a Midwest thing. I don't know. Producer Natasha, have you heard that one?
I'm shocked. No, I've never heard that.
I don't know. It's like regifting, you know? It's like you take it back, take it back.
Well, I mean,
with
what
the rest
I have,
of your Christmas.
What I have heard of is shopping. That as this thing has become about like a man has to save up 4 months' salary to buy the biggest ring he can afford. And then if they break up, if they don't actually get married, that he gets the ring back. And even if they get a divorce, he gets the ring back because it was his in the first place. I just think that's all kind of crazy and putting emphasis where it doesn't belong.
Right. Hmm. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is a big investment. I did have a client who she works with me now, not before, but she was married for just 6 months and they put so much into their wedding. I mean, it must have been a $50,000 wedding, maybe more.
Yeah, that's hard.
And so they just decided to like liquidate and split the ring because they both needed the money after that huge, huge investment. So however you handle it, it's your business.
That's right.
Yeah.
Any final words? We have like a minute left. Any final words, Kaylin, on surviving the holidays single or as a couple?
Again, the gift of love, amen. It can be 24/7 and year long. I think as Catherine was saying earlier, it starts from and has to come from within. It isn't something that needs to come or that we have to receive from someone else. We have love already within us all around. It's just about being aware so we can share it and experience it and do it right and not feel any pressure. Just let it happen. That's when it's cool and it's the best.
And if you're single and you don't have somebody to spend the holidays with and your own family may not celebrate, I would also love to suggest go do something for somebody else. Go help out at a charity. Go serve food at a food bank or on a food line. Cook a turkey yourself and take it down to your local shelter. The best way out of yourself is to give to somebody else. That's going to make you feel so good.
That's what this season is all about. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies. This hour just totally flew by. If you want to know more about Kaylin Rosenberg, you can go to lovearchitects.com or follow her on Twitter at Kaylin, which is spelled K-A-I-L-E-N, Rosenberg, all one word. And don't forget to listen to Compassionate Conversation with Catherine Tull at 11 a.m. Pacific on UBN Radio. And you can follow her on her new Facebook page. I saw that,
That's
right?
That's right. Compassionate Conversation on Facebook. And you can learn a lot about me and the work that I do and find out about working with me, too, at CatherineTull.com.
Fantastic. And also, while you're on the web, don't forget to stop by DearMrsD.com and pick up your free video, The 5 Biggest Online Dating Mistakes You're Probably Making Now and How to Fix Them. And we have one final webinar coming up in our November Women's Webinar Series. This one is How to Make Him Notice You, and it's patterned after one of my most popular Match.com workshops. So leave me your name and address at DearMrsD.com, and we'll be sure to invite you to join us for this awesome free webinar on Thursday, November 21st. This show is a Dear Mrs. D production and has been produced by Natasha Lewin. Dates and Mates has been made possible by UBN Radio, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Huffington Post, JDate, Lava Life, and The Lash Lounge LA. Make your appointment today for long, luscious lashes like mine. See that? Go online to lashloungela.com and don't forget to use that code Dear Mrs. D so you can get $20 off your first full set. Tune in next week at 12 noon Pacific to hear a recent celebrity contestant on my favorite show, The Voice, actress, singer, voiceover artist E.G. Daily, a.k.a. Dottie from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. She's going to be in studio with me next week discussing dating in the big city. And until then, happy dating to you.
In the future, talk radio will actually educate, inspire, and make you think. The future is now. Topics and music that affect your life from Universal Broadcasting Network. Tune in at UBNRadio.com.